Welcome to Talking Stock. I'm your host, Doug Harvey, Director of the Institute for Faculty Development at Stockton University. Talking Stock is a space where colleagues can discuss teaching, scholarship, and service. On this episode, we're going to talk about project-based learning. And here's our guest for today.
Well, I'm John O'Hara. I'm an associate professor here in the School of General Studies, and I teach in the First Year Studies program. And I teach for Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies, the Graduate Program in American Studies, and an array of G courses.
John, thanks for coming. You're here today to talk about project-based learning. I know this is an approach you use in your teaching, but how would you define project-based learning in an operational sense for other faculty?
Well, project-based learning, I think, it comes in a number of different names. You know, some people call it significant learning. Some people call it problem-based learning. Immersive learning, engaged learning, design-focused instruction, you know, whatever you call it. I think all of those pedagogical techniques have some overlap, and that is basically describing a teaching method where students take the knowledge or the content from the class and they work for an extended period of time on some collective, collaborative, teamwork-based assignment that produces something in the end. Now, the nature of what's produced or the nature of what problem they're dealing with in problem-based learning can be widely different depending on whether or not it's an engineering class or a literature class. Right. But I think fundamentally it has to do with getting students together, working together, overcoming obstacles together, and transforming the content of the course into something that's like personally meaningful for them, something that they're motivated to do on their own or in small groups. And hopefully in the end, collectively, they all come together to produce something significant.
So do you use this in some of your classes or most of your classes? How do you decide when it's the way to go?
I would say the one thing about it is that it's a lot of work for the instructor, even though I think you cede a lot of the authority to the students because, you know, I want students to have a maximal opportunities to bring what they want to learn about to the project. But there's a lot of organization aspects to it, and it takes up a lot of class time to have students in groups and working outside of class in some cases. You know, so I try to do one course per semester as a project-based learning course, and then my other two I'll do in more traditional ways. Okay. But I would say, just to add to that, that the way I approach project-based learning is to have one, you know, gigantic project that is produced at the end of the semester, roughly, and so students work on it all term, although I have seen models of project-based learning or significant learning or whatever you call it. I have seen examples where the projects are smaller and more manageable in a shorter period of time.
Can you describe for us some of your uses of project-based learning, instances where it fit particularly well with what you were trying to teach?
Well, the one I do, I think, that has the most visibility here on Stockton's campus is we call it the 60s Concert and Peace and Love Museum. And it stems from my course in the 1960s. It's a GSS course, so it's a general social sciences course, but it, you know, it's interdisciplinary, so it combines literature, political history, literature, politics, and history. So we're studying that transformative decade of accelerated change. So I think like the traditional way to teach that might be to use a history textbook and to have students read, you know, primary works from the period. But what I really want students to do, especially because that the topic, the 60s, is so diverse and open-ended, that I want students to learn something about history by learning something about how history is told and how history becomes public. And so the historical exhibition component is really the academic component of it, where all of their assignments in the class have an ancillary product attached to them. So, for example, students will do an analysis of a book, a social sciences book published in the 60s. So whether it's a sociologist trying to figure out, you know, the problem of these wayward youths, or whether or not it's somebody dealing with the rise of drug culture or the women's movement or whatever, something published in the 60s about a 60s problem. But what they do is they read the book and they write me a 1,000 or 1,500 word kind of analysis of a key point in the book. But then they have to get the book. bring the book to the historical exhibition, put it within the context of our book display of 60s books with we call them museum cards. I suppose somebody in museum studies might have the more technical term available to them. But the students have to present that book, in other words, to an audience that might be walking by and encountering it in a 3 or 4 minute period.
So they sort of become curators.
Right, exactly. I think curation is a big part of, you know, again, understanding how history becomes public. But they do that. We have an artifact assignment where I tell them, you know, the best archive might be right in your grandparents' attics. And indeed, students turn up all kinds of really interesting things. Lost in space lunch boxes and Barbie sets from 1959. One student brought a Ford Fairlane, a car which we park out front of the campus and put lights around it and, you know, a velvet rope and a museum card. And and it really attracts a lot of attention because people like to see it.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm talking too much, but I think, you know, project-based learning really brings the, I always say bringing the classroom to the community and the community to the classroom. And how can you make your work, you know, kind of your academic work more relevant to other people? And so, it's really rewarding for students to have that.
Do students understand that going into the project, or does that develop as you go?
Well, you know, we do this in conjunction with the teamwork and collaboration ELO and the service and the service learning program. So through service learning, we do a lot of, you know, the planning and the reflective element of it, where students are thinking about what they learned and how they learned, and sometimes to very surprising outcomes. You know, I think the most rewarding kind of comments I get from students, for me, is to see that not only did I learn something about the 60s, but I also learned that my ideas can become realities if I apply myself. I was afraid to talk to the people at event services first, but then I had a relationship with Lori Griscom and we emailed each other. So I think so. A lot of these young students are intimidated to make things happen on campus, but they see that they can.
And what level of student takes that class?
You know, general studies is always an interesting group because I can have first semester freshmen sitting two seats away from graduating seniors. And so it's a really diverse group, and which is really good because it's not uniformly like this, but there are older and more experienced students who take leadership roles often and can kind of guide and mentor the younger students.
And so then the younger students are empowered to do that as well. And you set up that expectation in themselves. So now you've mentioned some of the benefits. Are there other benefits to using project-based learning that you have seen over your own experiences teaching?
Again, I'd say as a student, the benefits that I see that are sort of intangible are those that have to do with building self-confidence and encountering and overcoming obstacles. You know, in the end, this is a public event where if they fail in some way, it's a public failure, you know, so that's an interesting aspect of it. Of course, students, you know, I think it's a general studies course about the 60s, but, you know, I have students who are marketing majors who are working on the promotions aspects of it. Okay. And I have students who are, I had a dance major who did a choreographed dance accompanying the faculty band's version of Land of a Thousand Dances, right? And so it's like each student can bring to the table what talents and skills they have natively and sort of share it and bring it to fruition.
It is obviously relevant to them. Now the course content's been presented in such a way that it connects to their areas of interest, to their majors, something they want to study. So instead of learning specific facts about the 60s, they can generalize what they learned to themselves.
Yes, for example, I have a student this semester who is a film production major, and he is doing some of the visual commercials that we're planning on airing on Stockton TV, and he's doing the slideshow that will play behind the band while the concert's going on. And so it really fires on all pistons all at once.
This is the stock tips portion of the podcast. Are there any resources you recommend to faculty or advice you would give them if they want to explore using project-based learning in their own courses?
Honestly, I would say take a risk. You know, don't be afraid of the failure. I'm really surprised at how students come through. You know, when they first hear of the idea, The first time I did this concert event was 2 years ago, and I just sort of had an idea, like, let's try this. Yeah. And it's a really intimidating thing at first. You know, we're going to have a public event. It's going to run for 4 or 5 hours. We're going to invite the entire campus, and you may have to perform, but you're going to have to put your academic work on display in some way. Mm-hmm. And we need tables and chairs and food and catering and stage management and lighting and sound and promotions and.
It's complex.
And so they are really wide-eyed at first, but I remind them, we have 30 people sitting here, you know, so we have a lot of energy and a lot of group power behind us. Mm-hmm. You know, actually, before I came to Stockton, I don't know that I used the term project-based learning, but in a literature class once, we read a play from the 1960s, not coincidentally, The Trial of the Catonsville Nine by Daniel Berrigan, and I thought, hey, you know, wouldn't it be fun if we'd put on our version of this? And so in a really short period of time, 3 weeks or so, we got the students together and we did a reading of the play. It was around the time of the beginning of the Iraq War, and it was relevant and timely. We got a small audience to come around, but when the students were reflecting on that, they reflected on how much fun it was, how engaged they were, and I really noticed that they learned this text in really deep ways by being put into a position of having to re-present it.
Yeah.
So when I came to Stockton in 2013, one of our first IFD guest speakers was L.D. Fink, and he did a presentation on significant learning. And I really kind of thought that semester, like, wow, that's exactly what I was up to, and that's the way I like to teach. So I just kind of I started with L.D. Fink, and had that idea for let's do the 60s concert that semester, and we ended up doing a longer version of that play in my other GAH Descent in America course. Mm-hmm. We did the Trial of the Catonsville Nine again, but this time we had it on stage. We had a public audience. We did the advertisements. We did the promotions. We did the Museum of Righteous American Outlaws, because these were, you know, Catholic dissenters in the 60s. So L.D. Fink was where I started. Okay. But Kara Hood did a summer institute on project-based learning the following fall, that I was also involved in. And it was there that I think I learned more from, you know, some education foundations do some work that's online. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of some names of people. Bridget Barron is one. Linda Darling Hammond is another researcher who's done some work on project-based learning.
If someone wants to speak to you further about this, where can they reach you?
My email is john.ohara@stockton.edu.
John, thanks for spending time with us. Talking Stock is a podcast produced by me, Doug Harvey, for the Institute for Faculty Development at Stockton University. Visit our website, www.stockton.edu/IFD, where you can find a link to show notes and transcripts for every episode. The music for Talking Stock is provided by the Organic Music Library, www.organicmusiclibrary.com. Thank you for listening.